Philippians chapter 4. We'll start in verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. In this passage we have looked at over the last few weeks, we saw a couple weeks ago, we talked about prayer. He said, by prayer and supplications, make your requests be made known unto God. Last week, we looked at the peace of God and how vital the peace of God is for us as believers, especially in the crazy, seemingly world we live in, that the peace of God is vitally important. And this week, we're going to look at Paul's encouragement to the Philippian believers to think on some specific things that will help them in their walk with God. And what I want you to do this morning is I want you to listen for a verse or maybe a verse that might catch your attention. And if one kind of piques your interest or kind of jumps out at you, just write it down real quick. And we'll use it in the application portion here in just a little bit. But this week, I want to talk about the opportunity that we have to think. We live in a day and age that doesn't always lend ourselves or encourage us to think. We're told what to do and how to do it. As children, we struggle with that. You're told, do this, and do this. And a lot of times we're not given the explanation of why. And sometimes that comes into the church house as well. From little kids, we were told, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. But not always do we get a good chance of why we're not doing this. And so I want to speak on this idea of the thinking. And as we go through this, again, think of a verse. Or maybe of one of the verses we go to, maybe a verse that just comes into your mind, something you've heard or read recently, and think about that, and we're going to use that later. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful this morning that we have the breath of life. We're thankful that we can gather together. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to have the Word of God before us, that we can come and we can get encouragement from us, that we can be strengthened by it, that we can learn and grow in what it means to have a relationship with you. And that through that, we would be encouraged and strengthened and throughout the day and the week that we have. And that through it, you might be able to help us and encourage us through the Spirit of God. Work and move through the verses that we look at here in just a little bit to help us in our walk with you. And we'll give you the praise for all these things. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. Amen. Think of that part of that song where it says, this I know. I was sitting there just reflecting about, I was about 20 years old before I knew why Jesus died and rose again. And so what a great truth that is this morning. He paid the penalty for our sin. What a blessing that is. Here we see in Philippians chapter 4, we see a great truth that God has given to us. And Paul encourages us, I want you to think on these things. And so this is not something new. Up to this point in his letter, we see Paul has encouraged this idea of thinking. Go over to Philippians chapter 1, turn back a few pages, and look at verse 27. In the beginning part of the letter here, he says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Paul encouraged the Philippian believers early in his letter to them that they were to be of one mind, that they were to take their thoughts and align them together for the cause of the gospel. And again, one of the great things about doing that is it reminds them that, listen, this is not about you. As you gather together the group, it's not about you. It's about Christ, and it's about what he is doing and how he is working. And they're striving together with one mind. Go over to just in chapter 2 there and look in verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. So again, he is referring to the idea that they think alike, that they're thinking in the same pattern, that they're bringing forth this idea of how they're thinking, to change it from themselves. Listen, we don't need help to think of ourselves. Matter of fact, in most situations, if we're going to do something needs to happen, we're going to do something that's going to benefit me personally. If there is a tragedy or something happens, forget about thinking about others. I'm thinking about myself and I'm taking care of myself. That's just the way we are naturally. And so Paul is reminding them that they need to not just look at themselves, but to look at others. But look at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So Paul is saying, look, there, this mind that I want you to have, this thought process that I want you to have, is not natural to you. You have to take on the mind of Christ and to think like him and to be like him if you're going to do that. Verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So here he uses Christ as the example, a humble and an obedient servant. And Paul is encouraging him to have this mind, the mind that makes you think of others, the mind that makes you think of the needs of others before yourself. And this is the essence of Christ. He thought of lost sinners over himself. It's the whole purpose why he came to die, was that man could be redeemed. Man was separated from God because of their sin. And because of that, there needed to be something to bridge that gap, to break that broken fellowship and relationship that could be done. And it was come, and he obediently, as the Lamb of God, came to take away the sins of the world. Now look at chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. So again, he reminds them to stand fast, to stand fast together, but I want you to be in the same mind. And then again, in verse 6, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So again, we see this idea of the mind and the heart. The heart and the mind are synonymous together in the scriptures. The heart, when it refers to the heart, it's not talking about the physical organ that we have in our chest. It's talking about the seat of our thoughts and our emotions and those things that we think about. And he says, I want you to, your minds to be kept in those things. And then he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now mark this passage here in Philippians and go over to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. In Paul's letter here, he is, and many of his other letters, he makes this matter of emphasis of thinking, of what people are thinking about and what they're dwelling upon. And if you think about how important what your thoughts are and what you dwell upon, you can begin to understand why he puts so much emphasis on this idea of what one is thinking and why it's so important. And we got to look at that. If Paul is making such an emphasis here on thinking, why is it important? Why is it important what we think? Because look what the Bible says here in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what we think about is what we are. And what we dwell upon is who we are. So if we have the wrong thoughts in our minds, then we are going to be off, if you will, when it comes to our actions and the way we do things. If you think about it in a way, if a person spends a lot of time thinking about sports and dwelling upon sports, they're naturally, when you meet them and talk to them, that's what they're going to talk about. If their family is something that's very important to them and they spend a lot of time thinking about their family, they're going to speak about their family. If it's the problems that are in their life and the troubles that are in their life, and that's what they dwell upon, when you talk to them, that's what they're going to tell you about. But listen, if your thoughts are dominated by the political things that go on in this world, then that's what you're going to talk about. So what the idea is here is what For as a man thinketh, or for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what you are is what you think about. Go over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. What we choose to spend our time thinking about will greatly affect not only our thoughts, but our actions as well. So it is vitally important what we spend our time thinking on, because it is going to be who we are and what we are. So how we think is vitally important, because what we think about affects our emotions, our actions, and those things. It all derives from there. It all moves from there and goes to those things. And so here we see in Romans chapter 8, look at verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So what we keep our mind focused on is what is going to dominate our mind. If we see the negative things going on in our lives, and that's what we focus on, then we are going to be by nature a very pessimistic person. If we focus on the positive things in this life, then we will be more of an optimistic person. But it all depends on what you focus on and what you dwell upon and those things. So our mind needs to be focused on the right things. If our mind is focused on the problems of this life, then we are going to suffer the consequences of that. We're going to be a person that deals with a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety, a lot of depression. If we focus on the positive things of this life and look on the bright side of things, then we are going to be a person that's going to be optimistic. We're going to have a positive outlook. You know, we all know those people that are very optimistic people, and they kind of grate on people that are pessimistic. You know, well, this is bad and this is terrible. Well, you know what? But hey, look at it this way, you know? And it just grates on people that are pessimistic. It's like, no, I want you to see the negative in this thing. I want you to see how bad this thing is, right? And so we have that tendency. And that's why Paul's making such a strong emphasis on this idea. And again, Paul is warning the Philippian believers on the condition of their mind. I ask you to hold that place. Go back now to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And I want to look at this real quick, at what this powerful tool that of that Paul is trying to get across, that how you think is vitally important. And Paul wants them to be greatly affected by Christ, and that it would produce in them a drive and a will to serve God with their whole being. And Paul encourages them with a list of things here. Again, we read it a couple times, but what we see in verse 8 is a vivid picture of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Every aspect that Paul tells him to think on is representative of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Let's go over to John chapter 14. The first one he says is to think on things that are true. He says, think on things that are true. Folks, I can't tell you how important that one is. There are so many things in this life that we're told that are not necessarily true. And you must vet that out yourself. You must believe those things. We know, listen, we're not going to spend time talking a whole lot about it today because it's not the matter that we're here for. But we know the things that are going on in this world dominate most people's minds and thoughts. And you have to search out what's true and what's not true. Neither side is always true. Let me help you with that in your personal life. Right? So you got to search that out yourself. But what we're dealing with here is the matter of spiritual things. And listen, I remember as a little boy growing up, and I was told, look, if you just be a good guy, it'll all weigh out in the end. And I remember, you know, I was not an overachiever in that area in my life, I'm just saying. I want my good, my bad, I just wanted just a hangnail over the top of my bad, right? And but you know what? I came to find out years later in my life, that's not true. The Bible talks about that it's not the works that we can do that merit God's approval of us, but it's what he's done for us. And so we got to vet those things out. But look here at John chapter 14, verse 6. The Bible says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So when he says, think on things that are true, he is in essence saying, think on Christ. And if your mind, the first thing that you think of when you wake up and you open your eyes in the morning, and the first thing you think on is Christ, it's going to dramatically affect your day in a positive way. The next thing he tells him is to think on those things that are honest. Go over to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, honest is deserving of honor or respect. He says, I want you to think on things that are honest. In John chapter 5, the Bible says, verse 23, the Bible says, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. Then he says, I want you to think on those things that are just. Look at down at verse 30 in chapter 5. I can of my own self do nothing, as I hear I judge, and my judgment is just. So things that are right. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. The next thing he tells them to think on these things that are true, honest, just. And he says, hey, I want you to think on those things that are pure. Don't allow your mind to be dominated by those things that are not pure. The evil things of this life, don't dwell on those things. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to find that he's going to remind us that we need to be holy in our life. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, the Bible says, but he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. So I want you to be holy. I want you to live a holy life. And he said, God says, I want you to think on the things that are holy, the things that are pure in those things. The next thing he says is those things that are lovely. Go back to John and look in chapter 15. John chapter 15. Think on those things that are lovely. Think on the things that bring about a positive affirmation in your life, not a negative thing in those things. In John chapter 15, the verse 13, the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The love of God is something we should be dwelling our mind. Next, he says, those things are of good report. Look at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, look at verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. The good report of Jesus went about from place to place, and people started to hear about Jesus and about the miracles that he was doing and the works that he was doing. And people would come from miles around and try to get towards Jesus so that they could, maybe a child that was sick could be healed or a loved one could be healed. And that good report went out. Oh, what a difference it would make in your life if you thought on things of good report. Turn over to Luke chapter 8. The next thing he says, think on those things of virtue. Of virtue. The glory of God. Luke chapter 8, verse 46, the Bible says, and Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. So all these things that Paul is telling the Philippian believers to think on is representative in Christ. So therefore, what Paul is in essence is saying is think on Christ. Don't worry about what's going on in the White House. Don't worry about what's going on in the courthouse. Don't worry about what's going on in your neighbor's house. Think on Christ. And he's encouraging them that. Let's go over to Psalms chapter 95. The last one he tells them to think about is praise. If there be any praise, think on these things. So you want to praise something, praise in God. Give your praise to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And here in Psalms chapter 95, he is going to remind them. He says, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. If these things are a description of Christ, and it's therefore representative of the written word of God himself. We know the Bible says in John chapter 1, 14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So Paul is insisting that their thinking and their thoughts and what they're dwelling upon is focused upon Christ. Now listen, every aspect of our life should be viewed through the lens of the scripture. I've talked about this quite a bit, about the difference between the physical sense, the physical sight, and the spiritual sight. In John chapter 2, Jesus said, destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll rise it up again. And they looked at Jesus like, 40 and 6 years it took us to build this temple, and you're going to do it in 3 days? Right? They're thinking the physical temple, and Jesus is talking about the temple of his body. He's talking about he's going to die, he's going to rise again in 3 days. So he's speaking spiritually, but they're only hearing and seeing physically. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus, he says, he must be born again. And Nicodemus is like, whoa, 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 whoa. You mean I got to crawl back into my mother's womb and be born again? Right? He's speaking a spiritual truth. He's only seeing and understanding physically. John chapter 4, the woman at the well. Drink of this water, you shall never thirst again. And she looks at him and says, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. He's not talking about the physical water pot and the physical water. He's saying, listen, I can give you spiritual water that you'll never thirst again. You'll never be thirsty. You'll never be hungry because I will satisfy those things. And God wants us to view this life that we're living in through a spiritual lens. And that's why he told them, think on those things that are true and honest and just. He said, these are the things I want you to dwell upon. And the way we understand the scripture is through reading and studying and listening to the preaching of God's word. So one of the most powerful ways to understand the scripture is often not talked about. When Paul is stressing this idea of thinking on certain things, the way that we understand the word of God often is overlooked. Look over to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. So if we're going to think on the things of God, if we're going to think on things that are lovely, and pure and just and holy, we're going to think on all these things. We got to go back to what God lays the foundation for when it comes to thinking on certain things. And in the book of Joshua, we find a great truth, again, that's often overlooked and often undone. Joshua chapter 1, look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The word meditation here, when it says meditate day and night, meditation is close or continual thought, the turning or revolving a subject in the mind, or serious contemplation. So when the Bible talks about meditating, it's simply talking about thinking. To think on these things, Paul's saying. And what Paul is saying to the Philippian believers is, hey, I want you to spend time in meditation on the Word of God. Meditate on these things. Mark this passage here. Let's go over to John chapter 16. Mark this passage, we'll be back at the end. So keep something here in Joshua 1:8. But let's go over to John chapter 16. So why is meditation, why is what we think about so important to God that he would tell us to do it day and night? He says, I want you to meditate day and night. I want you to think on these things and think about those things in the morning, in the evening. Think about this. Think about when you're trying to think about something. We've got a matter that you're thinking about, or you're trying to think of those things, right? Most of the time when you're in that situation, if you're around a group of people, you want a moment of silence or quiet to be able to think. I mean, how many of us have ever been in a situation that said, just stop talking for a minute. Let me think for a second. Just stop, right? Every mother in here is like, oh, that's me. I don't know what that is, right? I don't know, I've been there. But it's like, I want some quiet. So when it comes to knowing God, look at what the psalmist was directed to write under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And the psalmist says in Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. One of the reasons why we struggle with our relationship with God today is because we don't do very good at getting still. Most of us live in a place to where we don't even want quiet around us. We don't want things that are quiet. We always have to have some noise going on. But God says, be still and know that I'm God. So meditation affords the believer an opportunity to get still and to allow God to speak to them through the Holy Spirit. Notice here in John chapter 16 how Jesus describes the Holy, how he describes the Holy Spirit and what that Holy Spirit will do in our life. Look at John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So thinking or meditating on a verse allows the Holy Spirit the opportunity to guide the mind in the right direction. So when we meditate on the Word of God, it gives the Holy Spirit within us the opportunity to guide our thoughts in the way that it should go. How many of you have ever been reading the scriptures and you maybe you've believed something all of your life and you read this scripture and you're like, wait a minute, that's what it says? One of the times I remember for years and years growing up, I'd hear the story of Adam and Eve. You know, Adam and Eve, and Eve was tempted of the devil and she succumbed to it and she gave unto Adam. And I'm thinking, you know, poor Adam. Poor Adam, you know, she set a plate down on the table. He ate it, man. He, you know, then he fell right with her. And then I remember reading through that part of the scripture that the Bible says, and it gave unto her husband with her. And I'm like, wait a minute, that sorry peak was there all along. He knew what was going on, right? So there's sometimes we believe things, and it takes the Word of God time to be able to see those things. And so when we think or meditate on a verse, it allows the Holy Spirit to guide our thoughts in the right direction. And this is vital because people can see the same thing, but see a different thing. If you were to have if I had a glass up here, and I got a bottle, right? I got one in here somewhere. Sure. Okay, here we go. Here's a bottle. Now, what is that? Some of you are going to look at it and say, oh, that's a half full bottle of water. And some of you are going to look at it and say, well, that's a half empty bottle of water. It's the same thing. You're looking at the same thing, but you have two different beliefs on it. And can I tell you, that's the way a lot of people look at the Word of God. And they'll say, well, what I believe is, well, but you don't realize, I don't care what you believe. God says something, therefore it is what it is. And sometimes, you know, we talked about it in Sunday school. When Jesus was tempted, he says, it is written, it is written, it is written. And you should be like that. You should be to the point where the people say, look, I don't care what the Bible, you think the Bible says. I don't want to know what the Bible says. I want to know what you think. But what you don't realize is, as a believer, what he thinks is what I should think. We should be in coordination together. It shouldn't be, well, I know the Bible says this, but I believe that we should be able to do X. That's not the way it should be. If Bible says it, that believes it. And there's a lot of times in our lives where we would really like the Word of God to say what we think, but it doesn't say what we think. But we want it to say something, but it doesn't say it. And we have to bring our mind to where God is. God does not bring his mind to where we are. And the mind is such a crucial part in our walk with God. Let's go over to Psalms chapter 19. Psalms chapter 19. The way our minds evaluate an issue plays an important part on how we feel and respond at that particular time or that particular issue. We must think in a manner that will result in an emotion and action that will be most conducive to the cause of Christ. Therefore, our minds must be guided by the Spirit of God to think in a manner that is pleasing to God. And the psalmist here is going to talk about his thoughts and how his thoughts are, that he's hoping that his thoughts are approved by God. Look here at Psalms chapter 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So the psalmist is saying, God, let me be in a place where what I'm thinking and my actions are pleasing to you, that they're accepted by you. I don't know about you, but that's pretty convicting. How many times this week did you think, God, I hope my thoughts and my actions are acceptable to you? But he desires that his meditation be acceptable to God. And this shows the importance of meditation as in our lives as believers. It's representative as one of the most important things in coordination with the Word of God. Go over to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. Now, so far we've seen that we are commanded to meditate day and night in Joshua 1:8. And we have seen how the Holy Spirit can guide our thoughts to the truth of the Word of God. But next, we will see in this verse the condition of our mind in our hearts without intervention from God, if we do not allow our minds and our heart to be guided by the Holy Spirit through thinking and meditating on the Word of God, what's the problem? Well, look here, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our minds are desperately wicked according to God's Word. Go over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And this would make sense, again, because I talked about earlier about Adam and Eve, who had everything. They had everything you could possibly want. You know what Adam and Eve had? No mosquitoes. I mean, what more could you want? Beautiful sunny skies all the time. You know, that's 60 to 70 degree weather. This is beautiful. But they had everything. Except for one thing. But their minds were drawn to that which was forbidden. And our minds, left to themselves, without the influence of the Scriptures and the Spirit of God in our lives, will naturally lean to the things that are not of God. Because our minds, left to themselves, are desperately wicked. It would mean that they would need to be transformed by God. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. Look at verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. He's saying, don't let your mind be tainted by the things of this life, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Because our minds are desperately wicked, we must have our minds transformed and renewed in that. We need to have it gone from the things that we would think about to the things that we would not think about, and that would become the dwelling point. Our minds need to be renewed by the power of God to align it with God and His Word. And this is the reason why Paul is listing the thoughts that the Philippian believers should be thinking. Because he wants them to emphasize these things in your life. If you are thinking about things that are true and honest and just and lovely and of good report and pure, if you're thinking about all these things, then you're not thinking about the things of this world that are take your thoughts away from the things of God. Go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verse 17. He understands the great need in their life that their minds be transformed from the worldly dominated mind that they had before they put their trust in Christ, to now be focused on the Word of God, that Word of God just circling in their minds, just rotating in their minds, meditation just moving over and over and over again. Isaiah 55:9 says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, it's impossible for us to think like God on our own because his thoughts are so high above ours. His ways are not our ways. That's why when the troubles and the tribulations of this life come and we experience heartache and hardships and all those things, that's why many people automatically say, God, why? God, why? Because sometimes in our lives, we can't fathom or understand how something that seemingly seems so bad can actually be good for us. But it can be. It absolutely can be. So if God's ways of thinking are not our way of thinking, then we have to have our minds transformed or renewed to think like God. And this is done through the Word of God. And look what the Word of God can do in our lives. Look here, John chapter 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The first thing that Paul tells the people to think about is truth. Whatsoever things are true. That's the Word of God. The Scriptures is truth. So when people ask you, that's why the Bible says, be ready always to give an answer for the hope that lieth in you to all men. Because the Word of God is the truth. So if somebody's coming, they're looking for help, they say, man, I got this problem in my life, I got this problem in my life. Well, let me give you some truth. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. The Word of God is where we go to for truth and understanding and help. Folks, listen, you cannot go to the different sources of media. It's all out there, for heaven's sake. There's so many now, especially with, you know, everybody and their brother now is a media representative. You can't go to them. You go to the truth of the Word of God. That's where we go to. We go to that for truth because that is where the truth lies. And he says, listen, this is sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's where meditation helps to direct our thoughts to be like God thoughts. And when our thoughts are directed on the things of God, then our mind will be focused on the things of God and not the things of this life. Go over to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. So this idea of meditating, thinking on the Word of God is so vitally important because it puts our mind on the right things and not on the things that can bring us troubles and trials and tribulations in our life. And that's why Paul's emphasizing the idea of meditating on things that are true, honest, just, good report, virtue, and praise. When a person is meditating on these things, it helps to reshape or transform their mind to be more like Christ. And this is important because what our mind is thinking on is who we are. Look at verse 45 here of Luke chapter 6. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So what's in you comes out of you. So if you say, well, I'm a believer, and then all types of manner of cursings and vile things come out after that, I'm going to have a hard time believing you. So we can paraphrase this verse kind of in our general vernacular is what's in the well comes up in the bucket. What's in your heart comes out. And if your mind is dominated by the things of this world, whether it be politics or sports or whatever, then that's what you're going to talk about. You're going to talk about what's in you. And if you are the Lord of your life, then that's what you're going to talk about. Because remember what we talked about earlier in the message in Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So hence, the more we set aside time to meditate on the Word of God, the more the Word of God will come out of us. If you don't spend time meditating on God's Word, then it's not going to be what comes out of you. What comes out of you, it's going to be what you're dwelling upon. So Paul sandwiches, in this passage, he sandwiches prayer. And then in verse 8, he talks about meditation, what you're thinking about. And in the middle of that, what we talked about last week is peace. That peace that passes all understanding. That thing that a lot of people are dying for, wanting in their life, just peace, right? Every mom, when she goes to the bathroom, just wants 2 minutes of peace. But it doesn't happen. So we see those things. And so God is saying, listen, what I want you to understand is if you want peace in your life, man, you've got to come to me in prayer and you've got to spend time thinking about it. And when you do that, these things will bring about a conducive place in your life for the peace of God that passes all understanding. And how we view life is so vitally important. Think about Elijah. When Elijah's mind was focused on God, and he's dwelling upon the things of God, he's calling fire out of heaven. But when Elijah got his mind on the things of this life because Jezebel said that she was going to kill him, he's off now under a tree wishing he was dead. That's how quick it is, folks. That's why it's so important what we think about. And Paul is stressing this to the Philippian believers. Say, look, I know you live in a pagan society. I know you live in a vile place. And I know that many of you used to do that. Like me, Paul would say, I used to kill Christians. Now I'm trying to bring them to Christ. So I understand that. So you've got to get your minds renewed by the Spirit of God in your life if you're going to have help. So this is why he's stressing the need to set aside time to meditate on the Scriptures. And make no mistake about it. Meditation is a vital part of our lives as believers. Again, we don't talk about it a whole lot. You know, it's kind of we joked about in Sunday school, like gluttony. We don't talk about gluttony very much. You know, I feel a little bit better to talk about it now that I've lost a little weight. I feel a little bit better talking about it. And he says, think on these things and do these things. So both these actions, praying and meditating, can help bring peace into your life. I told you to hold Joshua chapter 1. Let's go back there. In the message this morning, my intent was to stress the importance of meditating on the scriptures. Next week, we are going to look at the art of meditating. We're actually going to look at it a little bit more deeper, and we're going to talk a little bit more about how to apply meditation into our life. But for this week, I want to highlight a couple verses that we've already looked at for our application this morning, and then give you a challenge as well. So we know now we need to meditate, right? We know we need to meditate. That's a good thing. But now how do we apply that? How do we put that into our life? And we looked at this verse earlier. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. He says, you need to meditate in the law, in the word of God, day and night. So again, we see the command to meditate on the scriptures day and night. And if you have not meditated on the scriptures this week, it means that you are not allowing and not following the command that God has given to you. But notice he goes on, he says, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. If you find yourself struggling to obey the commands of God, meditating on his word day and night will help you to obey his word. It's what he says here. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. You see, meditation changes your want to. See, how many times you look at a young child and say, you want to go take a nap? I don't want to. I don't want to. And then you get into adulthood, and adulthood changes your want to. You know, most moms are like, oh, if I could just get a nap. If I could just have a nap. Just 5 minutes, I would take it. Right? We fight and fight and fight it, but then it changes our want to. See, well, our want to needs to be changed to need to. There's a lot of people say, I want to pray. I want to read my Bible. I want to meditate. But it just doesn't happen. It needs to come to a place where it's like, I need to. I need to meditate. I need to pray. I need to read my Bible. I have to. It's got to be. Because a want to is something you're forced or compelled to do. A need to is, it's because I need it in my life. When I was a teacher, and everybody has their own opinion, but I'm just going to tell you, my personal opinion, I've worked with a lot of different things over my lifetime, and the most wicked place I've ever worked was in the public school system. You may not like that, and I'm sorry, but that's my opinion. But Wednesday nights, like Wednesday nights was never, oh, I guess if I'm not doing anything, I'll go on Wednesday night. Wednesday night was like more important to me than Sunday nights, Sunday morning going to church. Like Wednesday, I needed Wednesday night to get through the week. Like I needed some haven in the middle of the week to be able to get through that. But want to is forced, but need to is something that I recognize as a need I can't live without. And then he goes on and he says this, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God says if you will meditate on his word, you will see prosperous and successful living in your life. Now, most people, when we talk about prospering or success, they immediately run to money, finances, right? That's where we normally go. And you know what that might be? Maybe God does bless you in that way. But what he's speaking about here is spiritual, having prosperous and successful life in your spiritual life. Maybe it's a deeper understanding of the word of God. Maybe it's a you receive the desire of your heart. Maybe you get a greater peace that passes all understanding. Maybe it's the restoration of a relationship you have longed to see restored. No matter what the result is, time spent meditating on God's word will benefit you immensely. Let's go back to John chapter 16 real quick. John chapter 16. Again, next week, we'll get into the deeper look at the meditating on God's word and the many benefits of it. But again, this week, I want to look at this other verse we looked at earlier. And hopefully be able to give you some things to help you get started on meditating this week. Or maybe restart your meditation. Meditation on God's word will not only bring about gain in your spiritual life, but it'll also to help you have a greater understanding of God's word. I can't tell you how many people that I've met over the years that have said, you know, oh, if I could just know the word of God like so-and-so. If I could just understand the word of God and be able to recall it and be able to explain it like so-and-so. And what we don't realize a lot of times is that, and I often quote this verse because I believe it's just such an important one, but wisdom from God is not exclusive. It's because of lack of asking. It's not because of lack of desire. A lot of people have a desire to know God's word and to be able to recall God's word. But in James chapter 1, verse 5, he said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not. If you want wisdom, he'll give you wisdom. He'll pour it out to you. So again, it's so many times, it's not a lack of desire. I believe people truly have a desire to want. It's just a lack of asking. Lack of asking God for that. Look at John chapter 16 here, verse 13. The last verse I want to look at here in our application. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. One of the great results of meditating on God's word is that it affords the opportunity for the Holy Spirit in our lives to guide you into not just truth, but all truth. He says, I will guide you into all truth. All those things about that you wondered about the word of God, meditate on it. Think on it. Go to God and ask God for wisdom and understanding. If you don't give time for the Spirit to guide you, then you're probably not going to have a deeper understanding of the word of God. Listening to sermons is good, but it's not enough to find the great truths of the word of God. Now, let's give some practical here in the challenge, right? So I asked you earlier to think, when we go through this message, maybe there's a verse that jumps out at you. And hopefully there was. But if not, that's okay. Maybe you have a verse that you've always wondered about. I want you to take that verse. I want you to write it down. I want you to put it in your mirror in the bathroom. I almost said put it on the windshield of your car, but please don't do that, because it'd be good if you pay attention to where you're going. Put it on your phone. Put it on the backdrop of your phone. So every time you open up your phone, you see that verse. And every time you see that thing, think about it. Think about it and just let it just roll around in your mind and think about that thing. And maybe through the week, God will give you a greater understanding of what it is. Maybe it's not just a greater understanding of what that verse means. Maybe it's what he wants you to get from it. Often when I always talk about, you know, when I read the Bible and I'm studying the Bible, the verses will jump out at me, right? A verse I will see that I read this thing hundreds of times. I've never seen this thing before, right? And you get that verse that jumps out at you. But find a verse, find something that you can look at and put it in a sticky note on the fridge, you know, places that we visit a lot, you know, the fridge and places like that. But somewhere where you'll see it. And think on it through the day. Think on it through the week. Let your mind be drawn to it. Pray and ask God to give you wisdom about that verse. Meditate on it. Turn it over and over in your mind this week. And think on it through the week. And let the Spirit have the opportunity to bless you through it. And so Paul encouraged these Philippian believers, I want you to think on these specific things. And for you and I this morning, our admonition, our challenge is going to be, let's find a verse. And if you say, well, preacher, I just can't think of it. Nothing. Okay, just start with what he said. What sort of things are true? Just meditate on the truth of God's word. That God's word is true. Start thinking about things like, you know, we have
there's very little things in this world that are true. There's very, very few things in this world that we can truly trust in and believe in. We can't trust in each other. And I don't mean that in a negative way. But we're fallible people. We make mistakes. We do things to break trust at times. That's just the way we are. But he'll never break your trust. If you just think on things that are true, then you think on things that are honest.
How many honest things in this world? But we have a God who said, I changeth not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if none of those things are piquing you or none of those things are moving you, why don't you just meditate on the fact that he loved you enough to save you? And that should get you through this week. But meditate this week on a verse or a thought and see if the Spirit doesn't bother you. Take Paul's admonition to meditate, to think on these things. Let's pray. Father, help us this week to find something to think about. We saw today the great need that we have to meditate. We need to have our mind renewed in the Spirit of God that we might be able to draw closer to you, that we're more aligned with you in our life and our thinking, and that as we do that, we would glorify you and honor you with it. We struggle. We fall short probably more times than we are successful sometimes when it comes to serving you and being like you and doing and thinking like you. So help us to draw a little closer to you this week, to be more aligned with you by taking some time to meditate, to think. Maybe those that have some time before they get to work, that they can meditate while they're driving on the things of you. That throughout the day, maybe doing a menial task, maybe something that we don't really enjoy doing, but we take that time to meditate. And maybe that time that we despise becomes sweet because we're meditating on your word and you're affording you the opportunity to speak us through the Holy Spirit. Help us to meditate and to think on the things this week on the word of God and